you know, this is Manchester United. Wout Weghorst is being sold. And then you go online and it seems to be like, this is a good thing. You're like, it's not. Please stop telling me this is a good thing. It's not.
Subscribe now to the OTB Football Podcast stream wherever you get your podcasts and download the OTB Sports app.
OTB AM with Gillette. Get into your flow with the new Gillette Labs Razor with exfoliating bar.
All right, it's Matty Taylor. I can see him getting his car. I've decided to go to Bolt. I'm waving him going out the car. Man.
Just love moving teams, and then you have to do an initiation.
They just don't seem to be able to get deals over the line.
All right, Phil Egan is here with us. Phil, good morning to you.
Morning, lads. How are you doing?
A welcome relief for you to talk about transfer dealings.
Yeah,
from all the rest of the stuff that's going on in the world.
1 week ago.
Well, Frank Lampard's gone, right?
Yep.
So, somebody at Everton's going to start buying players.
I think, do they have the budget to do that?
Well, they might sell Anthony Gordon.
Yeah, I wonder, is that ship sailed?
Because his form has dipped?
Well, I don't think it's not, it's just, it's very hard to stand out in a team that have been in such bad form.
Yeah. But
the best bits of Everton, there's been very few this season, have been when Anthony Gordon's been involved.
Is there a window of opportunity for somebody in the style of Trossard being much cheaper than you thought he might be compared to some other players who are of a similar standard, where you get Gordon for 20-something as opposed to the 60, 80 million that it was a couple of months ago?
I think the difference, though, with Trossard and Gordon is the nationality, and contracts and all that as well. But now, if Everton are going to get out of it, I think they need Anthony Gordon.
Right.
I genuinely believe, look, Everton have a lot of problems, but I think that their squad is good enough to get out of trouble. But they have to choose right. And a lot of the talk, obviously, is about Bielsa. And
yeah.
I've already heard people saying, well, that Everton squad isn't a Bielsa squad. But look at the very first Leeds team that he picked. Mm. And there's players in it where you recognise the players in it, like the likes of Luke Ayling or Alioski or Calvin Phillips. And he made them Premier League players.
Pardon my ignorance here, I can't remember, but did Bielsa get the full off season with those players, or was it mid season when he arrived?
His first game was a 3-1 win at Stoke, so it was during the season.
Right.
So
he can't have an immediate impact.
Well, I think whoever comes in, there's obviously going to be a new manager bounce as well. Everton are hoping for now. Their first fixture is Arsenal at home, which isn't a great one Saturday week. Then a Merseyside derby, which actually isn't as bad as it's a trip
Could
to Anfield.
Been, yeah.
It's a trip to Anfield the following week. It's a Monday night game. But Liverpool are hardly in great form, where Everton frustrated them there last season. They obviously drew 0-0 with them this season. Everton would be up for that game. But Bielsa, if he got it, could you know the detail he goes into when he researches what kind of squad he's working with. And I think the talk is that he just wants reassurances of what he can do. He doesn't want to be losing players like Anthony Gordon. Anthony Gordon is someone I would classify as a Bielsa player, full of energy and with space, can just eat up the ground and is a threat on the counter-attacks.
So. Okay, so Bielsa, good call if they make it fast.
If he wants it.
Yeah, if he wants it. But also, see, if they went down the Sean Dyche route, which is, I mean, polar opposites here, but that could be a safe option as well. Somebody that knows what it's like to be in.
I'd love to see Sean Dyche with a bit of money, right?
Yeah.
His signings weren't great, but some of them were really good and some of them were terrible.
Yeah.
You know, you just look at the Irish players that he signed. Some of them worked out really well and some of them didn't.
Yeah, well, the gas thing is, if he did get the Everton job, he's got a few former Burnley players. I joked when they signed the likes of Dwight McNeil and James Tarkowski, were Everton signing Burnley players just for when Dyche comes in?
Get the head of himself.
Yeah,
themselves.
Well, that was last July I tweeted that, and he's definitely in the mix. Wayne Rooney, obviously, is another one but I don't know if Wayne Rooney needs this.
He doesn't. It makes no sense if you're Wayne Rooney. This job will come for you at some point, so long as you don't absolutely screw up in America. But even if you do, no one cares, really.
There's such pressure on whoever gets his job, just given the stadium, the finance.
Well, Gerard, you were asking earlier, is it an attractive job? I'm looking at the next manager odds here. So Bielsa's now the slight favourite, 5-4 ahead of Dyche at 7-4. Then you have Marcelino Garcia Toral, who's done good things with Villarreal and Valencia in the last few years, joint third favourite with Big Dunk. But it strikes me as the type of job now who they could go for Bielsa and Deitch, and because nobody really wants the job at the moment, they could end up with a Marcelino or someone to that effect who's maybe third, fourth, fifth down the list.
Yeah.
It's just not a sexy
I'd be
job.
Very surprised if they didn't get Bielsa and they went for Deitch. I'd be very surprised if Deitch didn't want it.
Yeah. Right. I think Dice could.
Everton are a massive club. And yeah. I know you've been talking about earlier that you fall into the trap of thinking because you're such a big club that your aims should be higher. But for now, they just have to make sure that they stay in the division.
Mm.
And they did it last season. And you thought, right, they can build on it. And things had started okay this season. They were quite hard to beat. But there's only so long you can do that where you become a team that's hard to beat. You have to start picking up points and winning games. And they just weren't winning games, and they didn't look like winning games.
Pete Rose logged more hits in baseball history than anyone else. No one has come close to breaking his record. But he was also at the center of one of the game's biggest scandals, a scandal that changed baseball forever. In the new book, Charlie Hustle, New York Times bestselling author Keith O'Brien chronicles Pete Rose's spectacular rise and fall. Drawing on first-hand interviews with Rose himself and his associates, this is Pete Rose as we've never seen him before. By Charlie Hustle, available wherever books are sold.
If you're Anthony Gordon's agent, what are you doing? Are you staying to the end of the season and then seeing what the story is and having your pick of clubs in the summer?
Possibly, yeah. It's tough for a local lad as well to just walk out on a club that he absolutely adores. And we've seen it before where players go, but it's not that easy just to get up and leave. And I think that would be maybe a sensible thing, is just see how it goes. And you know, if you're still in,
is his form as good now as it was? Like, is he as in demand? You're saying it's hard to stand out in a bad team, but is he still the same player, or has he come off the boil to the point where?
But I think Everton have come off the boil so much that Anthony Gordon's form isn't as good as it was.
Okay, would you be worried signing him now for the same price that you were being quoted in the summer?
Well, I think the price was way too high anyway.
Right.
For a guy that was still relatively unproven.
Okay.
You can see there's certain things that he does where you think, yeah, I can see the potential in this player. And he, in terms of his physique, he still has to fill out a bit. But yeah, he's an exciting player.
Mm.
And if Everton had got 60, 70 million for him, I could see why they would have taken it. But Everton need players like Anthony Gordon if they're going to stay up.
Okay. Manchester City have signed another young Argentine player for relatively cheap. Maximo Perone from Vélez Sarsfield. There's another aspect of the business that Man City are doing, where they're buying the Alvarezes of the world. And they just seem to be a very well-run club at the moment.
Yeah. I suppose the difference with Alvarez was we kind of knew when he was signed that he was good to go. Perone wouldn't be, you know, he's one for the future. He's just gone 20. Left-footed player in midfield. Like, they have Bernardo Silva in there in that kind of central role. Well, obviously, Bernardo Silva can play in a lot of roles, but Perone is more a specialist in that central area. But a little bit more advanced. He wouldn't be playing in a Rodri role.
Of the top teams, maybe we can do a special one on Chelsea before the end of the window. It seems to me that Arsenal have done the best business. They've just gone about stuff. They've picked up Trossard, who's going to be able to have an impact on that team for a very good price, really. And they've signed the centre-back from Italy, the Polish centre-back, Jakub
Kivior? Yeah. And he's a left-footed centre-back as well. I think that's important, where as good as Arsenal have been, I think if you're Arteta, you still have to be looking where can they improve. And I think that is an area. I think Saliba's been excellent. Gabriel has done a really good job, but I think you can upgrade on Gabriel.
Mm.
And it's very important, even though things are going well, you don't rest on your laurels. And that's the most successful clubs and the most successful teams. They build when they're in the strongest position. And I think actually Liverpool have been guilty of not doing that, where when they were on top a couple of seasons ago, they didn't build, and now they're paying the price for it.
Well, Mudrick's going to be probably a very good signing for Chelsea, but financially speaking, even Thomas Frank the other day speaking about how overpriced he was. He's like, look, he's a great player, unproven yet to some degree, but far too big a price.
Yeah.
It could emerge if Trossard is really, really good with Arsenal. Arsenal dodged a bullet there financially.
Yeah, but you know, like, a lot is made of the finances or the price tag of players, but if they make your team better, the price tag usually goes away quick enough. It's really just, it's something that if things don't go well at the start, then the price tag is mentioned.
Yeah. And Anthony,
Darwin Nunez, your prime examples there of...
Well, the clubs make so much money they can afford a couple of these missteps. It's actually when you pay too much in wages and that resets the bar, and then bad players are on big wages like Manchester United have had for such a long period of time, that really sets you back in your ability. It's interesting now in the De Gea contract negotiations, he's willing to take a pay cut. Mm. And like, oh, all of a sudden, if you're not paying the most for any goalkeeper in the world, then it doesn't look like a bad deal.
Yeah. And if you pay too much in wages, then you can't get them off your wage bill because they don't want to go.
Like, and they're stuck. Like
why,
a bad smell.
Why would I leave?
Yeah. On that Chelsea, one of the papers is reporting today that Chelsea's decision to make all these long contracts, the 7-year deals, which is going to allow them to write off the cost of the transfer fee and squeak in under the financial fair play, that UEFA are going to change the rules so you can only write transfers off over 5 years. So that they do this in American football, where you'll sign a contract worth 100 million, but there'll be a void year at the end. So you spread out that 100 million over 5 years instead of four, and it doesn't affect your salary cap. And I did think that there's going to be a lot of this coming in where, you know, contracts are given to players and they're like 15, 20 year contracts. You get the money over the period of time, same amount of money, but like you've long retired and you're still picking up the salary.
Yeah. Nice so retirement fund for you.
There's ways and means to get around this, but that's how Chelsea have so far been managing to do all this spending while at the same time trying to get in under financial fair play. There's going to be a fire sale of Chelsea players though. There's going to be a lot of those available.
That's what I was going to say, is just try and sell a few players as well and make some money back, because they've got such a bloated squad now. And there is definitely a few players in there that will interest several clubs around Europe and in the Premier League as well.
Any sign of Liverpool signing any midfielders?
No. Like,
you sound downhearted there.
No, I just think that I find it really strange that in the last 4.5 years... Thiago is the only permanent signing they've made. And it goes back to what I just said about not building on the success that they had. And I get why Liverpool fans get frustrated with FSG and their model, but I don't think you can blame them for Klopp not signing a permanent midfielder, another permanent midfielder, in 4.5 years. I think he has looked at that midfield and thought, I've got it all sewn up here. We've got Fabinho, who's one of the best defensive midfielders in the world. He's had an absolute shocker of a season.
It's mad that all three of them fell off a cliff at the same time.
Well, I think Thiago is the only one now that you could call good enough to get into their rival teams.
Is he still at the same form as he was over the...
I think if... The thing is...
It's hard to tell.
If you had a more functional midfield, then Thiago would look even better.
Okay.
But he's... going around, he's the one putting in tackles. He wasn't signed to do that. Now, he's always had that ability to press, and people think that because he's so good on the ball that he doesn't like the other side of the game. Couldn't be further from the truth. When he arrived at Liverpool, actually there was, especially when there was the behind closed door games, you could hear Jordan Henderson shouting at him, like, just stop going in for all these tackles. Just relax. But... They need, the thing is, they sign a few players in midfield and then they look good again. I think I can understand why Liverpool fans would be very frustrated with how the season's going, but like last season, they bounced back from the previous season where it didn't go according to plan, and the Bundesliga came back at the weekend, and there's Jude Bellingham, scores on the return, sets up the winner for Gio Reyna, and like, you think what a player like that would, the difference he would make. Whether we know obviously if it comes down to money, Jude Bellingham's not going to Liverpool. But if it comes down to him wanting to play for Jurgen Klopp and Liverpool, then the money thing isn't an issue.
Yeah, we'll see. No Champions League football probably next year to distract them. Maybe not even any Europa League football next year, the way things are going.
The way things are going, not even Conference League.
Yeah. Right, that is this version with a week to go in the transfer window of Deal or No Deal.
Hi, Roy, it's Matty Taylor. I can see him getting his car. I've decided to go to Bolton. I'm waving him going out the car park.
Just love moving teams, and then you have to do an initiation.
They just don't seem to be able to get deals over the line.